I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. One year ago, fireworks cascaded over Tokyo Bay in celebration of the one-year countdown to the Tokyo Olympics. Now, a new one-year countdown has begun to the rescheduled games. Japanese swimmer Rikako Iki, who survived leukemia and is training to return to competitive swimming, held the tiny flickering Olympic flame in a small enclosed container as she stood in the middle of the empty new national stadium during a short 15-minute video. Tokyo 2020. To think of the year ahead starting right now, not just as a postponed year, but a plus one. I think it is future-oriented and a positive way of thinking. But of course, I understand there are negative voices who say, how can we talk about sports at a time when the world is having a difficult time? On the other hand, what I think is, we need the power of hope to break forward from adversity. Because hope shines from afar, we can look ahead and do our best, however difficult things get. The Tokyo Olympics are scheduled to begin July 23, 2021. But the pandemic delay appears to be dampening the excitement among the Japanese public. Hikaru Okubo is an office worker. I am quite worried. If the Olympics were held in a foreign country and I had planned to go, I myself would not go, unless I could completely feel safe going there. Engineer Fujisawa is not optimistic. I don't think they should go ahead. I don't think the coronavirus will conclude in a year. There is already another Olympics host 4 years later, so I do hope that they can consider Tokyo as the host for the Olympics after that. A poll by Japan's Kyoto News Agency showed that just under 25% favored holding the Olympics next year, while about 70% said they would be postponed or canceled. But some in Japan, like office worker Akari Masuda, remain optimistic along with Olympics organizers. Sports encourages everyone and strengthens its audience. I think if they take measures, there's a way to hold the event, so I think they should go ahead with it. Amiko Watanabe is a nurse. I very much do hope they will hold the Olympics while pursuing the safety of athletes and the audience as priority. South Korean baseball games reopened to fans this week as health authorities outlined a phased process to bring back spectators in professional sports amid the COVID-19 epidemic. Following government guidelines, fans were screened for fevers upon entering the stadium and required to sit at a safe distance. Nam Ji-yoon didn't mind. I feel grateful that I can at least watch the game in the stadium like this by sitting sparsely in the stand. Coronavirus made it difficult to watch sports games in person. Fans were also required to wear masks, banned from eating food and drinking beer, and discouraged from excessive shouting, singing, and cheering during the game. Fans like Kang Dong-yeok did their cheering before the game. We were so excited about watching the game in the stadium that we were screaming with joy in the car on our way here. Seats had been covered with cheering banners, dolls, or pictures of fans as teams tried to mimic a festive atmosphere. Having real fans also excites players like Jung Soo Bi of the Doosan Bears. Players will feel more encouraged by having fans cheering for us in the stadium, even if we have only a small number of fans being admitted to the stadium. We hope the coronavirus situation gets better, so we get to have more fans coming to see the games as we used to. Both baseball and soccer teams in South Korea are now allowed to sell up to 10% of the seats for each game, as officials plan to control the level of attendance based on the progress of antivirus efforts. Me Mere days after its belated beginning, the 2020 Major League Baseball season is facing strike two because of COVID-19. On Monday, news broke that 11 of 33 Miami Marlins players who traveled with the team to Philadelphia for their opening series tested positive for the virus, as well as two coaches. That news prompted Major League Baseball to postpone two games that were scheduled for Monday, the Marlins' home opener against the Baltimore Orioles and Philadelphia's contest against the New York Yankees. Phillies fans, like Diane Vidnarek, were cautiously happy to see baseball return.
Honestly, I was expecting it. I'm a huge Phillies fan. I was very excited they were back, but I didn't think that they were going to make it through the season. I honestly didn't think it would be this quick. But I'm not surprised. I mean, COVID has just taken over lately, so not surprised at all.
But she says it was too early to try to play.
I don't think they should have came back, no. I was excited that they were back, but I don't think they should have.
Another Phillies fan, Terry Hamm, feels Major League Baseball's virus protocols didn't work.
Well, I was disappointed that they even came up here. I didn't think they should make the trip up here, knowing that they were exposed to COVID. And they're actually in a hot spot in Florida.
On Tuesday, news broke that four more Marlins players tested positive, bringing the number of team members with confirmed cases in recent days to 17. With no minor leagues this season, teams are allowed to retain 60 players each, including a taxi squad of up to three players for every road trip, giving them immediate options to replace an injured or infected player. But even with the unusual latitude, the recent infections have already thrown the shortened baseball season in doubt.
Play ball!
With no fans in attendance at Major League Baseball games, the planned shortened season was not welcome news for area businesses dependent on a usually guaranteed flow of spectators before and after games. Mohamed Elmardi works at Brass Rail Pizza Bar near Comerica Park in Detroit.
That's huge. From the Lions, Tigers, hockey, and the Pistons, all. That's something huge for us. If it's not going on, our business is down.
Kenny Valentino is assistant general manager at Del Mar Detroit, a rooftop bar and restaurant just a short walk from the stadiums. He is hoping some fans will still want to be near the playing fields for a sense of connection.
The real fans will still want to come out and be around other fans and not just watch the games at home. So we're really hoping that that will help draw some extra traffic.
Adrian Tonan with the City of Detroit says ballpark businesses are doing the best they can, although some will end up going out of business.
It's something that we're rolling with and we're giving our best effort. But there's absolutely going to be businesses that you're not going to see, that some legacy businesses too, I'm sure, that are not going to be here.
Despite the tough times, Detroit Tigers manager Ron Gardenhire is optimistic.
Somehow or another, hopefully baseball at least puts a smile on their face while we're playing here, and maybe hopefully sometime during this summer, they'll start opening up where our fans can get back in and some of the businesses are able to open up, and hopefully that's what baseball is going to bring.
I think whilst we've got coronavirus around without a vaccine, I think that's going to be very, very difficult to do. I really can't see that happening in the next year.
Chair of the British Government Committee on the Return of Elite Sports, James Calder, says the coronavirus pandemic will make it very difficult for English Premier League matches to be held with full attendances for at least another year.
I think we'd probably be looking at a maximum 25% foot capacity. I think realistically that's what's going to happen. It will depend upon each stadium as to how that works.
Calder played an integral role in helping the Premier League return in June after a 100-day shutdown, with supporters excluded from stadiums and twice weekly coronavirus testing on players and coaches.
Certainly we have not seen any outbreaks within football at all. So there may have been players who've tested positive, but they have not transmitted that to any other players. Some of them, you know, you could argue whether all the mitigation measures that have been put in place by the clubs has worked. And the same, I believe, is true for the Bundesliga and elsewhere across Europe.
Calder says cricket virus protocols helped to lead the way for British football to begin playing again.
The view taken by Nick Pearce, the chief medical officer for cricket, and David Mahoney is the CEO for ECB, was it's keep them in their own bubble. and then we've got complete control. It's very, very difficult for the players.
The season ends on Sunday, and Calder urged players to avoid going on their holidays to COVID-19 hotspots, such as the United States, Brazil, India, and Pakistan. Juventus fans are celebrating winning their ninth straight Serie A title. Juventus captain Leonardo Bonucci says it is a special achievement for fans during a difficult time.
Ed eravamo solo noi padroni del nostro destino.
Destiny was in our hands, and we did win our ninth straight Serie A title, the 33rd for Juventus. We want to dedicate this title to our fans who cannot celebrate with us in the stadium, but I'm sure that they've done it outside. We've had very difficult months with the pandemic outbreak, and some of our fans have left us, but I'm sure they enjoy it from heaven. Juventus manager Maurizio Sarri says this title was a unique challenge.
Come stava dicendo Leo prima,
I believe this has been one of the most difficult championships for everything that has happened. If you think that we started our preseason on July 6th last year, and we won the tournament on July 26th the next year, it's something difficult. And I'm not going to accept someone to tell me that to stay 50 or 60 days at home during the lockdown, watching many people dying, has been a relaxing period of time. It's been a very complicated and hard season. In sport, football, and in life, you can never take anything for granted. To win is always difficult. To win for 2 or 3 years is difficult. To make it for 9 years, as some of these players have done, is something extraordinary. Fabio Quartararo has won from the pole position at the Andalusia Grand Prix for his second consecutive win since the MotoGP season started following the pandemic break.
It's so tough because, you know, to make 25 laps in front with this temperature, I think was the hardest race of my life. Honestly, it was so hot, no air. Also, my hand and my feet was so hot. So really difficult, but honestly, I felt really good on the bike. From last week, the condition was different, so we need to adapt so quick. And I think that's the most difficult in this race in Jerez.
The Frenchman cruised to victory just a week after earning his maiden MotoGP race victory. The 21-year-old led a Yamaha podium sweep for the first time since 2014.
I just think that, you know, he impacts winning more than anybody in the league.
As National Basketball Association teams aim for a title in the coronavirus-interrupted season, the Los Angeles Lakers are making a case for a runaway most valuable player. Lakers head coach Frank Vogel on LeBron James.
He's the quarterback of both the offense and the defense for us. You know, it's probably the, if you're going to choose one argument, when you have Tom Brady running the show offensively and Mike Singletary barking out calls on the defensive end, you're a dominant team. And, you know, to all the other factors, his scoring, his ability to pass the basketball, leading the league in assists, like all that stuff matters. But to have, you know, the best offensive leader in the league and the best defensive leader on the league in one player, that's probably the best argument.
His teammates, including center Anthony Davis, agree.
The things he's doing at his age, I mean, he's playing like probably one of his, you know, best years. Top team in the West. You know, the things he's able to do on the floor, especially when everybody was saying, you know, he was washed and he should hang it up and all this thing. He'd come back with a dominant performance, and then just to be even in the race, you know, at this age, and this point in his career, you know, and for me to sit every night, and the things he do on a consistent basis, not, you know, in stretches, 3 games here, 4 games here, but he does it every night. And he's been doing it his whole career. I think, you know, it's a good argument for him to be MVP.
NBA Most Valuable Player Award voting is underway for the 2019-2020 regular season. Handing out the honors at the White House, President Donald Trump bestowed the Presidential Medal of Freedom, one of the nation's highest civilian honors, to Jim Ryan, a former Republican congressman, the first U.S. high schooler to break the four-minute barrier in running the mile, and an Olympian.
He's a giant of American athletics, a dedicated public servant, and a man of charity, generosity, and faith. He's a great man, actually. Jim, thank you so much for your unfailing devotion to our country, and congratulations on a lifetime of incredible success.
Ryan, now age 73, was the 1968 Olympic silver medalist in the 1500-meter run and is a three-time Olympian. As a 17-year-old junior, he became the first high school athlete to break the four-minute barrier when he ran the mile in 3 minutes and 59 seconds. That year, he went on to qualify for the Tokyo Olympics in 1964.
I will tell you, it is one of the greatest honors and privileges of my life to represent this amazing country and to wear the stars and stripes on my chest while racing in the 60s and 70s. There was such pride and love of country.
Jim Ryan was named the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year in 1966, the year he smashed the world record in the mile at 3 minutes 51.3 seconds. Ryan went on to serve as a member of Congress in the House representing a Kansas congressional district from 1996 to 2006. The Game Room opens with new stories each week. Or play anytime on VOANews.com.